Now, this is Mr. Harry Black. The project is the City of Sydney Horses in Inner Sydney Oral History Project. Margot Beasley interviewing. It's the 6th of November 2007. Coincidentally, it is also Melbourne Cup Day. And Harry, could you introduce yourself and tell us where and when you were born?
Yes, my name is Harry Black. I was born in Ralston, New South Wales in 1919.
So you're at a good age already, Harry.
Very advanced age, I would say, but still enjoying life very much, I can assure you.
And we are in the headquarters of the MUA, the Maritime Union of Australia, and you're a mainstay in the Retired Members Association.
Yeah.
And are still very committed to the union and union life.
Yes.
But what we're here to talk about today is primarily the CSR sugar horses.
Yes.
Now, people have already talked to me a bit about them, but I seem to recall that you're actually very good on the detail of how the horses worked and what they did. So I wonder, would you mind just describing just basically what was the routine with the sugars, with the sugar horses, with unloading and taking it into the shed and so on?
Yes, well, the horses, of course, were well used to their job that they had to do. They came and went. They came up to the side of the ship, and the sugar came out and was dropped in the dray right beside them, and they then turned around and went on their merry way in and returned later on with their goods again. And so they were well-trained horses. They knew what they had to do. They worked very hard also, by the way, because they worked that hard at times that it was necessary for us to say, as workers down there, these horses have got to be rested. And we demanded that they be rested, and they were rested on several occasions.
Yeah. And how would you know that a horse was exhausted?
Well, one of the horses, several horses collapsed in doing the work because they were just worn out, that's all. Like some of us old wolfies, we get worn out too, and so do they.
They worked, when they were unloading, unloading took place around the clock.
Yes, yeah, well, around the clock, when I say around the clock, it went from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5, and then a lot of people would come on and they'd go till 11 o'clock. Well, that was the end of the day then.
But they'd
yes, so they wouldn't work on midnight shifts. And but they had a very long day, as you can well imagine, because they had to be there, ready to work, and they made them work regularly and without stopping, except when we went for smoko or something like that.
So they'd have a rest.
Now they'd have a slight rest.
If the wolfies stopped for their breaks, then the horse would get a little bit of a rest.
Yeah.
I heard some stories that the wolfies actually went on strike sometimes.
They did go on strike.
Can you tell me?
I can't just explain when it but it was in the 50s sometime, and that was what happened. One of the horses collapsed, and, you know, we were concerned about it because we were concerned about all people who were overworked, and whether it was a horse or a man or a human being, we were concerned about them, and we took some actions to protect their way of life, their quality of life.
Do you think the horses were aware how much the wolfies were taking care of their interests?
I'm not sure of that. But I'm quite sure they were, yes. They regarded us with great kindness and concern and appreciation, yes. That's more than the boss, by the way, who owned them. He wasn't a bit concerned about the horse or us.
So the horses worked, did they work alone or in pairs when they were...
No, they were working alone, yes.
And they moved, what sort of distance would it have been between the wharf where the sugar was loaded onto them from the ships and then into the shed?
Well, it wasn't very far, but it was far enough. And if the shed was pretty empty and the loading was only just beginning, they'd go from one end of the shed right down to the other. Then they had to make their way back to the ship, and that would be a continuous operation, you know, for hours and hours at a time. Yeah.
And these were all draft horses of some kind, I presume?
Yes, they were pretty heavy horses, and they didn't look too bad. They needed, to be well fed, because otherwise they wouldn't have stood the strain.
Mm.
No.
They wouldn't have been able to do the work if they hadn't been looked after to some degree.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yes.
When did the horses finish up, do you think?
I'm not sure, but I think it was after the 50s. It was during the 60s, I think. I'm not sure. But Otto would have been probably a better judge of that than me.
He did mention it.
Yeah.
But it may have also been connected with bulk loading of sugar, was it, when sugar stopped being bagged?
Exactly, yes, that's right. And they were no longer required, of course, because they'd bring the stuff in, and they would use grabs to discharge it, and then it'd be discharged in a bulk into the shed itself.
Directly into the shed?
Yes.
In piles?
Yes, in piles. Great piles of it, yes.
But CSI was a pretty big outfit down there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was very big, yeah, and pretty powerful, and had a lot of influence. And they went in for not only sugar, but they went in for building materials and all that kind of thing, and so they were a pretty powerful organisation.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what about other horses around the waterfront? Some of the others have talked, and you also have to me on another occasion, about racehorses and so on.
Oh, well, racehorses were frequently dispatched from here to New Zealand and from New Zealand to here, and we had the position of loading them or unloading them, and many champion racehorses from New Zealand came over on one of the ships, and we looked after them pretty well, which created a great deal of interest, I can assure you, by the wharfies, who like to think about handling a champion racehorse from New Zealand, or sending one from Australia to New Zealand. And so, yes, they were nice to handle. Sometimes they were very nervous, like many other people are, going on the ships, getting off, being taken up in a crane and dumped in onto the ship's side. And so we always enjoyed it anyway when they had the horses there. Good horses, I mean, because there was always an interest in them, because the wharfies were fond of backing a few winners or losers on Saturdays at Randwick or something like that, you see.
Yeah. So yeah. There was a keen interest in punting, which meant...
Exactly.
And anyway, I suppose, even if horses came across the wharves fairly frequently, it still would have been a strong novelty element in it. It would have been a lot more interesting than a lot of other cargoes, I suppose.
Oh, it was much more interesting, yes. Because usually the horses looked so good, they were well looked after, they were in good condition, and people were very concerned about how they were handled. We had to handle them very gently so that we didn't upset them in any shape or form or hurt them or anything like that. And we were very careful with them, because they were worth a lot of money, those horses. Yes.
And horses weren't the only animals that came off ships then?
There were animals of all description, because they used to send circuses, to New Zealand from New Zealand back here. And they always had animals like monkeys and orangutans and horses. Of course, they had horses too. And so it was always interesting. And of course, when they came along, they had elephants also. We had to deal with elephants at different times. And the elephants, on a couple of occasions, you know, said, well, I don't want to go aboard the ship. And they just walked out. It was like the wharfies walking out.
You told me about one escapee elephant who wandered up into the city, didn't
you? Yes, because it was late at night. And the elephant just took off, and they said, well, I'm going to go walk about, and went up into George Street and went very close outside the town hall.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And eventually, of course, he looked at the town hall, I think, said, I've seen enough, and went quietly back to where he had to go, properly.
Presumably his trainer.
His trainer was there, but there were wharfies with him, and to give him some assistance or moral support or something like that. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I suppose a runaway elephant is not in a normal frame of mind, really.
No. And you couldn't do much about it. If he decided that he wanted to go up the street, he went up the street. Yeah. Unless you were, you know, treated him very harshly. But. That's what happened. That happened on a couple of occasions, I believe. Yes.
And there were horses all around the waterfront anyway, weren't there? Delivering.
Well,
and
there were horses, you know, that were in trays and things like that, and they brought down to the wharves some goods, and they had a deposit there. And it was interesting. One of the things that we talked about, and you may be aware of this yourself, down at number 6, Darling Harbour, that's part of the Hungry Mile now, they had a rail there, a rail. And that rail was a rail for horses. You know, they used to tether them there and leave them there, you know, while the owner was doing something else. And also at the same time, of course, when there was no horses there, the wharfies who hadn't got a job where they went, they would sit or lounge on the rail, and they used to refer to that lounge as as the praying rail. And so it was for horses, but it was also for wharfies, while they sat and lounged there, and in their usual way, they used to refer to it as the praying rail.
Speaking ironically.
Yes.
I don't think they did much praying.
No, well, they may have prayed that they get a job. And,
oh, I see. They were praying for work.
Yeah, they were praying for work, yeah.
I see. I didn't understand that.
Probably some of them did pray, because they say, well, every little bit helps, I suppose, and said, well, we might as well pray.
Yeah. So you're talking about the Depression years here.
Yes, that's right, mm. Yes, mm. Yes. And for years that rail was outside number 6, near number 6, Darling Harbour. Yeah.
There must have been other physical evidence of horses around too. When you say there was a rail there, there must have been troughs, presumably.
Yes, there were troughs. Where they were at the moment, but I'm sure that there was one that I was aware of, but I can't just remember now and recall where it was. Yeah.
Mm. I was just saying, when you wander around the city today, even you can still see small remnants of horses.
Yes.
Occasional carriageways that are still there where horses and carts could go to the rear of stores and so on.
Yes.
And other bits and pieces like that, so there probably would have been quite a few remnants around the waterfront as well, although probably not many today.
No.
Because it's been so redeveloped.
Oh, yes, completely redeveloped, and particularly that area, all of the old wharves, nearly all of them, particularly in Darling Harbour, they were pulled down, and new ones, and instead of the wharves, that went out into the harbour they are now, you know, they are in one place in one long line.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, it's quite changed.
Yeah, it changed considerably. Yes, mm. And they had to do that because of the coming of the bigger ships, mm. and more modern ships.
So when did CSR actually leave the waterfront? Do you know? It might be hard to actually pinpoint a time.
Well, the CSR, I don't know whether they're all gone now, I'm not sure, but there could be some of them still over here.
At
Pyrmont? At Pyrmont, yeah. I'm not sure whether there's still some there, but certainly some of their properties, I'm sure, are still at Pyrmont. But... yes, they would have probably their main work has gone somewhere else. I'm not sure where it's gone, but it's gone, actually.
But CSR had multiple properties around the world.
Oh, they did, yes.
What sort of places did they have?
Well, they had, they had done a lot of timber and also plywood and things like that, building materials, which were very well put together, and they were in great demand their businesses. Mm. Yeah.
Even though the original name was the Colonial Sugar Refining.
Yes, that's right. Yes, yes.
They were very
diversified.
And of course,
that's right. And they had sugar there, and they had sugar, of course, up in North Queensland and parts of New South Wales, I think, and Northern New South Wales. And they were a very tough company, I know, because when I was a young counter jumper up in the country, I know that when the boss ordered, a big consignment of sugar to be bought there, you had to pay for it before it was brought there to the CSR. There's no
COD.
No.
All payment in advance.
No, it had to be paid for. Yeah.
And the Wharfies didn't like them much either, did they, as employers?
No. Wharfies had scant respect for them.
Why?
And they
that?
Probably had the scant respect for the Wharfies too, but nevertheless, it was a battle that we gladly accepted. Mm. Yes.
So, any other stories about horses? I've heard quite a lot this morning.
Well, I don't know anything more about horses. I lived amongst horses myself in the country because my father at home we had horses. And when I rode horses, I could ride horses as good as anyone.
Could you?
Yeah, yes.
When you were young.
And when I was young, because my father made sure that myself and my brothers rode horses and knew how to ride. And rode very good horses too, yeah. And so horses have been, they people like horses generally. They like them when they go to the races, and they like horses to look at. The police have horses, of course, that come down, and people look at them with great interest. The horses, I think, they like the horses much. More than they like the people who are riding them, yes.
What do you think's the explanation for that? People do really seem to like horses.
They do, yes.
Is there an explanation?
Well, that the horses went from here to the Boer War. My father went to the Boer War and took their horses,
yes.
And of course to the First World War. They went to Egypt, and just recently, 90 years
of the light horse,
and they had that famous charge of the at Beersheba, and they won a great victory there. But it was a very exciting time, and I think I told you about one of the stories that have told about one of the horse. Because none of the horses came back, all the horses...
They were left behind.
And this caused a lot of because the men were so fond of their horses and relied on them so much. And, you know, the story is told about one of them taking, he said, "I'm not going to allow him to live." And he took the, and his mate said, he said, "I'm going to take him up, take him away from me, and I'm going to shoot him." And his mate said, "Look, I'll shoot him. You leave, stay here, and I'll shoot him." "No," he said, "I've got to do it myself." And he took the horse out and shot the horse. Well, I don't know how many done that, but I would say a few of them done it. They shot the horse.
Yes.
And because they knew that it wasn't going to be looked after properly, they knew it was going to be ill-used.
Abandoned or mistreated.
Mm. So they wouldn't allow it.
Mm. Yes, it's quite a sad story, isn't it? Because the horses are so highly regarded and so, well, these days romanticised almost, and yet they were abandoned.
Yes, that's right. Mm. And of course, up here in the Shakespeare Place, they've got that memorial to Australian horses.
Hmm.
Yes, which is really great.
It's nice.
I like to see it every time I go there. Yeah. Yes, it's very good.
Thanks, Harry. That's a really nice place to stop.
Yes, good.